Now turn right to the appendix. Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. And turn to page 71. First one to find the word pension, insurance or investment there, put the hand up. First one, no?
Page 73.
Okay, on page 72. A glance, page 73. Now tell me what I did that worked so well. Oh, by the way, the numbers here turned into a nightmare. We received, and I kid you not, I've got the record somewhere in my attic, an average of 7 new calls from first-time contractors every single week. And in the end, I had to recruit 2 IFAs to cope with it. Every week. And we were in the brilliant position of being able to do what? If we had too many coming in, what could we do?
Selective.
Turn them away. We would. Turn loads away.
But how did you get those grocers or outlets to
the market? Okay, brilliant question. What were the 2 things I had to be sure of? Number one, I'm talking to you and only you. And number two, it's got to be a niche market that I can get to efficiently. Remember that? Okay. Here's the game. So here's me, the IFA. Eventually there were 5 of us. Here's the target market, niche target market. And I found out who the gatekeeper was, because I used to be one. IT people moving from permanent to freelance, where do you think they found their first freelance contract?
IT recruitment consultants
controlled the whole market, because they wouldn't know where to go. They've been in their little cubicle for 10 years learning IT in a big corporate. They don't know about the market. They thought, well, I want to go freelance. How do I do that? Go to a recruitment consultant. These people Arthur controlled the market. So guess who I got to design this brochure with me? I went to the MDs of these companies and said, here's a draft brochure, what do you reckon? And they sat there ripping my brochure up in front of me and rewriting it in my face. Now at first I was quite hurt, but then I realised this is wonderful. Why did I realise this was wonderful?
Because you'd hit the market properly with people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but why was I so excited the fact that they were ripping my brochure up and rewriting it?
You weren't paying them.
Yeah, but what was so brilliant about that?
They owned
the brochure. How could you write something and say I don't like it? So if the MDs are sitting there all tearing my brochure up, I went to see 5 MDs, one after the other. Yeah, I don't like that, put that, yeah, that's rubbish, put that. Oh, they don't think like that, they think like this. Oh, I'm so sorry, mister. Oh, you sure that's what you want to say? Okay, mister. I took it away, got it designed, sent it back to them. What do you think of that? Oh, brilliant. Will you use it and give it to all your salespeople and your recruitment consultants up and down the country? Typically, they'd have maybe 10 or 12 branches, these companies, all around the country. Yeah, of course I will, because it helps my salesperson close the deal. If the person comes to say, I don't know what to do first when I go freelance, well, can you help me? What does a recruitment consultant? No, I can't help you, but I sure as heck know a man who can. Read that brochure and everything gets done for you in 48 hours. Really? Yeah, really. Now will you sign the contract? Yeah, no problem, mate. Right, here's the phone, pick up and call Barrington Scarlett. Hello, I'm a first time contractor. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, no problem. 24 hours, we'll have your company set up, an accountant appointed to you, and then we'll see you next week to talk about planning. Oh, very good, thanks, mister. They're earning a lot of money, a lot of money. Gatekeeper, niche target market, my strengths, and guess what? I couldn't do all this stuff. I couldn't form a limited company or advise them on cars or advise them on tax. So what did I do?
You outsourced, or you had, you found people that could.
Collaborated with them. Remember that first strategic page? Collaboration. Joined an alliance. Gave them the business. I don't ask for business. I give business away. And they owe me. And guess what happens when somebody owes you? You call in favours. And that turned into 7 new calls a week. Niche. Strengths, not mine, somebody else's, aligned with the needs of the market at that point in time. The needs were so deep, so violent, that they had to do it in order to earn £50,000-£60,000 a year. Back in 88, that's a lot of money. A lot of money. Does that make sense? An example of. Here's another one. I'll get James to send this to you. James got me to write his brochure for him. Because I read it and I thought, no, that won't do. So, guess who, which market that's aimed at? It's not complicated, it's very simple. Oh, I guess you talk to me, yeah, I'm a doctor. And the first was, the big problem with being a GP or consultant in today's healthcare world is dealing with the endless stress. Nothing to do with financial planning. Is this your problem? Yeah, you're not kidding. Right, I'm listening. Number one, you have my attention. And number two, I inherently believe you have the solution. He's got them. He gave this out, this landed on his desk Monday. Gave it out on Tuesday to one of his clients, and by Wednesday afternoon he'd received a call from a prospective client on the back of this. They said, you really understand my problem, don't you? It's about time. Nothing to do with financial planning, time, stress. It just takes planning, doesn't it? Simple, clear, consistent planning. Planning that does this, planning. Guess what we're into? We're into planning. You might want to talk to us about planning to relieve your stress. Just gets them. I'll make sure that James sends you a copy of that. It's a really nice little brochure, 2 weeks old, and already bringing in clients. Good. Does that make sense? Yep. Let's carry on.
Thanks, Dave. On this point with niche marketing, different things can drive your niche. It doesn't necessarily have to be looking at your current portfolio of clients and who's the best, most profitable. But you can stumble across the cold seat, you know, very slender seat, which you did. With the business that I was in a few years back, financial services, our target market, our niche, would be people that were about to purchase a home, not first-time buyers, between 8 and 12 weeks before they exchange contracts. That's how defined the niche was. It didn't matter so much about their income or anything like that, but it was defined by a life changing activity. Because we knew that, we focused our advertising in what mortgage and mortgage advisor and home buyer with the content clearly squarely aimed at people that had received a quote from their bank for life insurance and wanted to compare that against the rest of the market, and it worked exceptionally well. And we knew who not to advertise with. We knew we shouldn't advertise in first time buyer because the revenue wasn't high enough, and we wouldn't advertise and it was too speculative as well. People weren't ready to make the decision. It was purely people that were between 8 and 12 weeks before exchanging.
So what of those four categories on page 23, which one was Peter after there? What did he use? How did he use page 23? Wasn't industry, was it? So you can delete that.
It's behaviour.
Yeah. Okay. And possibly some psychography as well?
The behaviour of certain actions have taken place and they were in the process of a transaction that had started but hadn't finished. And the psychography was the kind of person that doesn't take the first offer that they're given by their bank or lender.
Right. Thanks, Peter. That's an excellent example. Why, what, how, example. So whenever you're talking to your clients, this is why, Mr. Client, this is what we need to do, this is how we do it. Let me give an example, okay? It's a great way of educating your clients. Part of your role is to educate your clients. Incidentally, I keep hearing this phrase, which is very understandable. You ready? I wonder if you say this. When I choose a client, I want somebody who will delegate responsibility to me for their financial planning. Who does that? Because I used to a lot. When I work with a client, I want somebody who will just stop interfering and just delegate responsibility to me. What's the problem the higher up the market you go, the more sophisticated the market gets? What's the problem with wanting that?
They might want some involvement.
Sorry?
They might want some involvement,
if so. Yeah. Supposing I'm a small business owner, what kind of animal am I in terms of delegating and controlling? Yeah, I like control, particularly a small business owner. I like control. And the more sophisticated and clever I am with money, the more I want control. So your desire, and I hear this all the time, my niche market is this, this, and this, and they've got to be wanting to delegate to me, otherwise I don't want them. That's a real problem in your description of a niche market. I wonder how you might word that relationship rather than they will delegate to me and just get off my back. How might you word
you
that?
We can help you keep control, David.
Yeah.
By delegating some of the work to us.
We can partner with you to help you keep control. Can you see how the type of person you're dealing with would deal with different language? So be very careful about your language. We'll go into that in more detail in a second. Page 26. Gordon, could you read that out nice and loudly? I know you're not a guest, but nice and loudly. Page 26, the grey bit.
Some people don't want to be tied down to a specific market because they believe it limits their sales. Today, the everybody trap, they keep you afloat if you already own a substantial share of the market, but it's deadly if you want to build a position from nowhere.
Okay. Jack Trout, which is what person that Peter was talking about. Client list includes AT&T, IBM, Sears. It's a pretty smart cookie. He understands how to attract quality clients. Let's talk about this positioning thing, which we touched upon. I wonder what this word positioning means. Turn to page 27. Positioning. To understand positioning, you've got to get together something called the marketing mix. Oh my goodness, what does the marketing mix mean? You've got to have a mix of things going on to help you in your marketing. I wonder what they might be. Let's touch upon them very quickly. Okay, page 28. Those are the things you need to get ready to get out there with your message. You've got to have a product and guests. In the package you're going to receive, we spend a lot of time on what on earth's a product. Because you've come here thinking, no, I don't want to talk products anymore. I want to talk service, right? And we're saying, no, you have to have a product. That's what I'm trying to get away from. I'm not flogging products. And we're saying you need to have your service so packaged that it's crisp and clear as a product would be, you know, with shrink wrap packaging and five ticks on the box, and it's got to be that crisp and clear, and we'll touch upon that in just a second. Got to be priced right. It's got to be right for the market. Got to have your message, remember this message we're trying to get, packaged in a certain way. This is a package. It's where James has packaged his message in a certain way to his target market. In here, it describes his product, his service. Okay, this is a package. This is a package, how I got my message to the market. It's how you take your message and get it to your market. Now, I know that's not in classic marketing language, it means something else, but in in a visor gym, that's what a package is. Then persuasion is how good you are with your communication. Promotion means how you get your message out there. How did you get your package? As you said, Arthur, so Arthur asked me, how did you get it there? I see your package, but how did you actually get it to the market? Well, I found a gatekeeper. So there's product. Is your service so crisply defined that I could understand it within seconds? Price. I've been to some IFAs, and do you know what? After 20 minutes, I still don't understand their fee structure. I just don't know what they're talking about. Packaging. Get your message packaged crisply. Persuasion, and it's very persuasive to the market you're aiming for, and promotion, this is how you get it out there. So I'm going to touch upon those five things. Page 29. So I'm just introducing the concepts right now. Okay, now that I've explained it to you, I want you to take 1 minute each, maximum, for each of those five boxes, and on the right-hand side, explain what you think those words mean. I've explained it to you, now you explain it back. What's a product? What do I mean by pricing? What's packaging all about? Well, the bottom one is performance. I'm not going to spend time on that. That was all the last, but I need you to summarise what you think it means. You're allowed to talk to each other. Okay, so let's have, this is really easy. Let's have John's table cover all six. Is it six? Yeah. Okay, John, you start them off.
Product is our service that we're our proposition.
Okay.
That we want to give them. Pricing is the cost of our services.
Okay.
To the market.
And next one. Next.
Packaging is the literature, the presentation of those items.
Okay. Graham.
Persuasion is getting your message across. Delivering it.
Well, that's persuasion. Okay. So what's promotion, Wendy?
How you market that message.
Okay. And what's performance then?
How you measure and remodel.
Measure the results and remodel.
Do you know what? I hadn't thought about that. That's really good. I hadn't thought about that. Measurement. What performance meant in my brain.
Not what you measured.
No, that's okay. No, I mean, keep it there. What performance meant in my brain is the reason why it's shaded and in dotted lines and so on and so forth is that is another workshop, and it's all about, well, now you've won me, how are you going to perform? How are you going to deliver this service on a continuing year-on-year basis? Because that's part of your marketing. Why is that part of your marketing? In what particular instance would that be a brilliant part of your marketing that you deliver fabulously year after year?
Referrals.
Yeah, isn't referral a great way of marketing strategy? Isn't that a fabulous way of winning clients? Therefore, your performance, once you've won me, once you've got me right round the baseball diamond, has to be part of your marketing strategy. Okay, and that's another workshop. In fact, that's much of the last workshop. Okay, so what's page 30 all about? You've got that, well done. Sure, you want to start me off here? Page 30, what's all that about?
It's the outcome to the client for each of those areas. So the product we've got, it's the solution that provides to a client need.
Okay. Anything else? Any other comments on that?
Are they to what's on offer?
Yes.
To do with the price, and it's what is the value to me?
Yes, absolutely.
That can vary on pricing from different clients.
Absolutely. So this, Nigel, is, and this is a challenge to all of you. I hear your language and our language in this room, but that's not the language of the client. The language of the client says, well, from my perspective in life, great service, great product, but what's the value to me? Yeah, is that a solution to my needs? So in your heads, here's your challenge. Okay, I kind of get what David's take this away, I'm going to study it, and I get what a product means, and I get what pricing means, but do I understand what the client is thinking or feeling about this item? My pricing may be brilliantly structured, Nigel, but does that represent value to the client? And how do you know that if you never ask them? How would you find that out? So you've got to think of, in two heads here. You've got to, right, I get this, I understand this, product, pricing, packaging. Then you've got to be able to step outside that and look at it from a client's point of view and sit with a client. And I have to tell you, having a client council is a brilliant IFA strategy. Anybody here got a client council? Were you formally appointed four or five people? Where you meet perhaps once a quarter, once every 4 months, three times a year, let's say, and you sit down and ask them this question: what do you think we could do better here, and what should we stop doing that doesn't really add value to your life? It's really powerful. Formally appointed, and you could change them once a year, could actually reappoint a new council next year. But most of the top IFAs that I've met have client councils. You know, don't make it, make it fun, take them to lunch, have a nice day together, half day, end it with a nice meal, but you invite your ideal best clients and you say, I want you to help me drive this business in such a way that it perfectly meets what you want. What should we do more here or better? What needs to stop happening? What do you really want to tell me that you've never actually told me, that I need to deliver for you? And listen to what they say. And you know what? I bet your clients can run the business better than you can, in terms of ideas. Because in their heart and mind is what they want. Why? If you'd asked me that, I'd tell you, why don't you do this? Not thought about that. Just like Wendy said something, I thought, I've not thought about that. Client counsel. So, try and think about things from their point of view. Okay, page 31. Now, guests, I promise you, this is in great detail in the package you receive. So I want the Advisor Gym Inner Circle members to briefly summarise what's this all about, your product. What's being said here? Stephen, do you want to start me off? At the top of the page, this is all part of your product. Remember, product, pricing, packaging? So what's a product? This is the product. It's got to contain this. Start me off.
Yes.
I remember this.
Well, our strategy is to become a dominant retirement planning practice in Edinburgh.
Okay. So that's an example. Key here is, do you have one? You actually got a strategy at all? If you don't, it's not a very strong product. And does your client base know that you've actually got the strategy working? We want to become the dominant whatever it is. James Cheetham is, we want to become the dominant financial planner in our neck of the woods in the hospital consultant market. Bang. Business strategy. Have you got one? It doesn't have to be too complex. What do I mean by your genius? Who wants to talk to me about genius? Now, what do you think I mean by your genius?
Ideas.
Of course, the question is, do you think you're genius at anything?
Mm-hmm.
Who would want to tell me what their genius is? The bit of the business they're really brilliant at. Andy, what's your genius? Because I know it, because you've shared it with me. What are you really, really good at?
Saving business owners paying tax.
Yeah, sound is genius. Small business owners, of course, Wendy would go, what small business owners? paying too much tax. That's Andy's genius. So part of his product is, whatever he packages and says and communicates out there has got to contain small business owners saving tax somewhere within it. Does that make sense? That's my genius. What do I mean by relevant services? What's that all about? Think about this.
Got to be aligned to the client's needs.
Yeah. And remember the retirement strategies we looked at, the retirement types, at that point in their life. At that point in their life. There's no point talking to a retreater when what you really want to talk is adventurers. Clients' yearnings and needs at that point in their life. So I caught them at a particular point in their life with their yearnings, desperations, needs and frustrations, and I got them with relevant services. Not my services, but relevant services. Does that make sense? Okay. What do I mean by the next one?
Explaining to the client what they can expect when they come to you and
yeah.
how you're going to liaise with them
okay.
through the problem solving or the what they require.
Well, why do we call it a client journey? Why do we name that a client journey?
Because it is their journey. It's them.
Okay, so in your product, is there a visual map of the journey that I take as a client? Certainly during the first year. Is there a visual map somewhere showing me, before I meet with you, okay, what happens when I start to engage with you guys? Well, you go through this journey. Oh, I get it. So we do this first, this next, and by the end of the annual review, we do have done that. Who here has a client journey made in graphic form? Right. This is part of your product. If I haven't met with you yet and I don't get what's going to happen to me, what's my problem in my heart, my mind? What is my problem if I just don't understand what's going to happen to me?
I don't know what the outcomes might be or when they might happen.
So how might I feel about engaging with you in the first place?
A bit wary, a bit indifferent.
Yeah.
Suspicious,
cynical, wary. You're setting up all these barriers. By not saying, look, before you meet with me, let me tell you in the first year exactly what's going to happen, step by step by step, and actually draw out a visual journey. If you go to Shane Mullins's Fiscal Engineers, we'll have a look at that this afternoon. Fiscal Engineers. Who knows Shane Mullins? Yep. Have a look at Fiscal Engineers, and, you know, he copied it off somebody else, and he copied it off somebody else. He just draws a nice client journey. We do this, then we do that, then we do that. On my website, I'll show you what we do before we even start working together. Oh, I get that. Okay. Right, there's no hidden tricks, no half Nelsons, no closes, you know, none of this sales nonsense. I get the journey. If you don't have that in your product, you are making clients wary and cynical and putting yourself at a disadvantage. So that's part of your product. Final product item. Who wants to talk to me about that?
Tangible.
What about it?
The outcomes that you are going through the comprehensive financial planning, you'll ensure you'll never run out of money.
Okay, so just tell me what that's got to do with my product. I haven't met you yet, so I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
You're pre-retirement, you're looking to sort your life out, and where you're going, we can put together a process to ensure you have sufficient money to do the things you want to do in your retirement.
Okay.
Lifetime cash flow planning.
Okay. And try and think outside of the financial planning headset, mindset, yeah? Talk about things that in their life are important. Tell
organized.
Me about.
You'll be organised.
Yeah.
You'll be more comfortable with where you're going.
Okay.
You will.
Less hassle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You'll feel secure.
Go on.
You'll feel secure about your financial position.
Yeah. Try and stop thinking about the money situations. Remember going back to the pages of the liberator, and so try and talk in their language. You'll be liberated at this point. You know, just think about how they're feeling and their yearnings and their frustrations, and use language like that. And just say, one of the outcomes of dealing with us will be, if you're at this stage in life, you'll just be ready for the adventure of a lifetime. Now, who would that apply to?
Adventurers.
Yeah, the adventurers who are just about to hit retirement. So you have to be able to give an outcome in writing. If you deal with us, if we ever engage in working together, one of the outcomes, or three of the outcomes, would be, number one, We get you organised for the adventure of a lifetime. That would appeal to a certain market. Okay, we make sure that the first 5 years will be in control and dignified. Yeah, whatever that. Can you see where we're heading with this? But I've got to see, if I engage with you before I ever get to second base in the first meeting, what will happen to me and my life if I work with you? And you better have some outcomes listed that apply to the market you're after, and only to that market, and talk their language, not somebody else's language. Does that make sense? Okay? That's your product. We'll skip 32, because that's all in the... That's all in the previous workshop. So, page 33, here's what we've done. We've said, create your product. You now understand that a product has certain elements in it. That's your product. That, package that together, slickly, concisely communicated. Get your pricing right. And now let's have a look at packaging. Turn over to packaging. Right, you have just 7 minutes. I want you to have a bash at... you can mess, yeah, we've done this before, but we're going to do it again in a different way. We're going to spend time on this after lunch, but I want you to have, I want you to have a bash at this on the blank page opposite the page, the blank page, because you're going to use the real page as a team afterwards. Just tell me, I meet you in a networking meeting, some sort of business networking meeting, and I ask the horrible question, so, what do I ask?
What do you do?
And you dare not say I'm an IFA, because you're dead. What do you say? Have a bash on the blank page opposite. This is the beginning of your package. You've got your product. You've worked out your pricing. What do you say? Have a bash.
Well, that's no good. You should be able to quote it. Come on. Just.